Hi, this is Randall Schwartz, host of Floss Weekly. This week, Simon Phipps joins me. We're bringing the bacon home. We're bringing the bacon back. John O'Bacon's going to come to us and talk about the Ubuntu phone. You're not going to want to miss this, so stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz and Simon Phipps. Episode 252, recorded May 22nd, 2013. Ubuntu phone. It's time for Floss Weekly, the show about free, Libre, open source software. I am your host, Randall Schwartz, Merlin at StoneEngine.com, bringing you each week, well, almost each week, the movers, the shakers, the big projects, the little projects, the products you've never heard of, the projects you're probably using every day. This day is no exception, and I'm stumbling over my words because I'm trying to get to reintroduce, bring back to the show, Simon Phipps. Simon, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Randall. It's good to see so little of you here today.
Looking thinner and thinner all the time. Talk a little
absolutely.
Bit about that.
Absolutely. You know, you're going to have to do something about this soon because you're just going to disappear. There's just going to be you remember on the old TVs, the dot that shrank to the middle of the screen and then vanished. That's what's going to happen one of these days on Floss Weekly if you don't, tone down this weight loss.
Yes, indeed. I'll talk a little bit about that at the end of the show, but I want to get right into this show because this is a really exciting show today. We're bringing home the bacon. Yes, John O'Bacon, former guest, then co-host, and is now a guest again. He is coming back to talk about the Ubuntu phone. I know very little about it because I just did a bunch of reading this morning to read about it. What do you know about the Ubuntu phone?
Well, I've been following it for quite some time. I did a podcast about their Ubuntu for Android prototype that they did a couple of years back. And this Ubuntu phone stuff is very interesting. It's very young in its development cycle. I'm going to be very interested to hear what Jono thinks is happening and where it's all headed, because it's got the potential to be a really beautiful and strong new offering.
Is that your phone?
and that was indeed my phone ringing at that moment.
You know, I just did some research for this show. It turns out that you've been on the show with Jono before, but I wasn't.
Really?
That was when Leo Laporte was doing it and Jono was interviewing you.
Right. Yeah, I remember being with Jono on the show here. So, yes, I hope he's not too nervous about having me on here because I'm sure he's noticed how you tend to have me on the show to be the bad cop to your always smiling good cop.
I occasionally get a little rough, too. But you don't have to get too bad with this one. This will be fun. It'll be fun. And without further ado, why don't we go ahead and bring on our guest, Jono Bacon. Been so long since we've chatted. Welcome back to the show.
It's good to be back. Good to see you, Randall.
And where are you speaking to us from? I finally got that question right, by the way.
I'm in the eastern part of the Bay Area in California.
Okay, so you're not too far away. I have sounds from my laptop. I'm already ruining the show. No, please not. Okay. I sort of gave an overview of what I believe I understand about what the Ubuntu phone is about at the beginning of the show. But why don't you go ahead and give us the 30,000-foot view about what Ubuntu phone is and why it exists?
Sure. So, I'm sure many people are familiar with the history of Ubuntu. You know, we started out with Ubuntu on the desktop, Ubuntu on the server. And then Ubuntu increasingly started focusing on the cloud as well. And as part of the vision that we want to move forward with, it's all about convergence. So this is about the ultimate goal is to deliver a single ubiquitous operating system that runs across phones, tablets, desktops, and TVs. There's really two components involved in that. There is a design and user experience piece, which is making sure that if you use Ubuntu on the phone, it feels like an Ubuntu device in the same way that if you use Ubuntu on the desktop, it feels like an Ubuntu device as well. So a lot of shared design patterns and shared visual design and things like that. But then the second piece is the engineering. And, you know, we don't want to have to maintain four different operating systems. So a lot of that is about bringing convergence at the code level as well. So, for example, we have Unity, which is the graphical desktop that also runs on the phone and the tablet and the TV. Is unifying Unity into a single code base. If you run it on a small form factor device, you get one experience. But if you expand it out to be, for for example, a tablet device, then you get another experience. If you expand it further to be a desktop, then you get a different experience. So that's the basic goal of it. And you know, there's lots of interconnecting pieces here. A lot of people look at Ubuntu Phone and they just see the shell. They see what runs on the device, but it's not just that. We've built an SDK so people can write applications once and they run on all these different devices. You know, we've built technology around how people submit and upload their applications. So there's all kinds of interconnecting pieces that fit into it as well.
So you're saying this, you're getting the same experience, or at least a compatible experience across all those platforms. How much of the actual Ubuntu stack is actually the same on all these devices? I mean, at what level does it cut off? I mean, could I build Perl on an Ubuntu phone?
Yeah, so a significant chunk of it's very similar. So originally, you know, this is the direction that we're heading in right now. So originally, you know, we had a version of Unity that runs on the desktop. We have a version of Unity that runs on the phone and the tablet. At one point, we actually had a 2D version of Unity and a 3D version of Unity for devices that have 3D graphics acceleration. So that's all being unified into a single code base. So that piece will be the same across all the devices. Something that we're working on, a display server called Mir, which is designed to... so that what has been traditionally served by X on the desktop... we have Mir, which is going to be a similar function. It's essentially for drawing to the screen that will work across all these different devices as well. A lot of the foundational layers is there, things like Upstart for starting services. A lot of the power management stuff is the same. Where things differentiate a little bit is at the kernel level. So on the phone, we're actually shipping the Android kernel because a lot of the hardware enablement's already been done, whereas on the desktop, we ship our regular desktop kernel. From an application development perspective, it's all the same. So if you write an app with the Ubuntu SDK, it'll work across all these different devices. But it's basically, you know, a lot of people seem to forget from time to time that an Android phone or an Ubuntu phone, it's a Linux box, you know. So if if something runs on Linux, then invariably you can build it and run it on that device as well.
So can you get like 20 Ubuntu phones together and form a cluster?
I don't see any reason why you couldn't. I mean... You know, you can put it this way, you can SSH into an Ubuntu phone. So as far as I'm concerned, if I've got a shell, I can do anything I want. So,
well, that sounds pretty cool, actually. It seems simple. I have to say, of course, I'm not much of a Linux user. I'm more of a FreeBSD side. But some of my questions are going to seem a little stupid or naive, but actually it might represent some of our audience as well. So there we go. I just call my audience stupid. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to put it that way. Maybe naive.
No, audience members, you should boycott this show. This is terrible. I wouldn't put up with that kind of behavior.
It's gone way downhill since you've been around, I can tell you that. No, now I just offended all my co-hosts. Oh, geez. Okay.
Hey, come on now. Way downhill is all very well, but... Jono, look, I had a great time playing with your earlier prototype where you had the dockable phone that did the desktop. Right. Can I still dock this Ubuntu phone and use it as a desktop Ubuntu system, or is that now no longer possible now you're using the Android kernel?
No, I mean, you can definitely do that. So thank you for raising this point, Simon, because this is something that's caused a little bit of confusion with people who have been looking into what we've been doing. There's essentially two experiences that you can have with Ubuntu phone. One is the conventional Ubuntu phone, which is... it's essentially a handset with the Ubuntu phone operating system running on it, and everything you do is on the phone itself. And that's what we're working towards right now in terms of getting that to feature completion. We also have what we call Ubuntu for Android, which is what you're referring to, Simon, which is where you have an Ubuntu phone, or whether you have an Android phone, and then you dock it, and then it boots a full Ubuntu desktop on the screen. Now, that's working right now, and we're currently working with you know, carriers and handset manufacturers to deliver that. The thing that was interesting about that whole scenario was when we announced that and released that, it was a little bit ahead of its time. Like, if you look at the market today, there's not that many handsets that you can go out and buy that have got these docks that will boot an operating system from. So we're a little bit ahead of the time. So right now, it's kind of switched to the business engagement side of things. So our business team's working with handset manufacturers and carriers to be able to do that, but the technology's there. In terms of what people are running today, in terms of all the buzz around Ubuntu Touch and Ubuntu Phone, it's less about that because people just don't generally have the hardware, and it's more about just the actual phone operating system running on the phone itself.
So, Jono, the code you've got at the moment, it's very clear that it's a prototype. Just how real is this Ubuntu phone? You know, is there something that I could actually install on one of my spare Android phones here, or is this really just a prototype for taking out to OEMs for resale, like Ubuntu for Android was?
No, this is. I mean, when we demoed this at CES and MWC, we presented it as a demo. But everything that we've built in that demo was real runnable code. And obviously, since those demos, we've been focusing on getting to feature completion. So basically what we're doing, there's two deadlines that have been in everybody's head right now. One is October, which is when we want to have the first feature complete cut of the phone ready. And the reason why we've said October is so the business team can go out, when they're talking to handset manufacturers and carriers, they can have a firm idea of when they can deliver something to be deployed on a handset. But the second date, which is much more immediate, is the end of this month. And that's when we want to get to a point where the phone is really dog foodable. Now, a lot of people don't understand what this term means. I know that Simon and Randall do, but this is when you eat your own dog food. So I started on, I think it was Thursday last week, and I switched over to use an Ubuntu phone as my main phone. And of course, you know, I'm finding all kinds of little bugs and issues, and I've been finding those. So the goal is that you can, you'll be able to use it. Now, you can use it on handsets today. If you've got Galaxy Nexus or a Nexus 4, as an example, then those are officially supported handsets that we're building towards. One of the handsets the Galaxy Nexus is the handset that the development team is using. We deliberately picked that as it's not a super powerful handset, so it means that we don't get lazy. It's available. There's a daily image that everybody can download and install on their phone. I do it every day. I flash every day. We've also been working with the community, and we've been working with the XDA community to help make it as easy as possible for people to port the Ubuntu Touch system to other handsets as well. And it's been ported to over 45 handsets. There's, I think, 25 are in progress right now. So it's actually available for a bunch of different devices that you can use.
Right. So now you mentioned community there. Tell me about the community around Ubuntu Phone. You know, Ubuntu is often described as a project that doesn't really have a co-developer community. It's much more a fan or a user community. Is this Ubuntu Phone work being co-developed with other developers, or is this really majority in-house Canonical staff working on it?
Oh, no, I mean, for a long time, we've had a very active contributor community who've worked on packaging and bug fixing. You know, we have hundreds of core developers and Motus who look after the long tail of software in the archive. But for Ubuntu Touch, it's been interesting because, there's been two communities that we're trying to build here. One is the really very familiar to what we've done in the past. It's helping to get people interested and involved in contributing to the code bases that ship in the project. So people getting involved in Mir and Unity and the power management work, people getting involved in testing and writing documentation, all of that kind of stuff. You know, we've got, you know, people writing manual and automated tests for all of these different components. And we're seeing some good growth there. But the second community that we've really been focusing on a lot as well is the app developer community. At the end of the day, people are not going to use Ubuntu on phones if they can't get the applications that they want to use. So we built an SDK, which is built upon the Qt project, which is the toolkit that KDE's written in. A lot of software projects are using Qt, but they actually ship. They actually have this really neat declarative language called QML, which is the Qt markup language, and you can use that to create really attractive and beautiful looking interfaces and very small amount of code. So it supports JavaScript. It's very similar in the way that JavaScript works, and kind of YAML a little bit. We've built this SDK, and it's a real SDK. You know, you've got a full IDE, and you've got debugging, you've got documentation built in. So you can download the SDK from developer.ubuntu.com today, and you can start writing applications. There's a tutorial on there, and you can write an application that you can then push to a phone and see your application running on the phone, and it works with all the touch gestures and everything. So, my team, we've spent a lot of time making sure that developer.ubuntu.com is up and running. that we're finding developer-facing UI bugs and kind of workflow bugs in the SDK. And then we're going out there and getting as many people as interested in and involved in building applications for the phone as well. So we've broken that application developer thing into really two further alleyways, if you will. One is just generally getting people excited about writing apps. So we've been doing lots of education weeks, getting documentation in place, getting the API docs up, all that kind of stuff. But then the second thing is when we announced the Ubuntu phone, one of the realizations that we had was there's a set of core applications that people need on phones that we don't have. Things like a calculator and weather app and a calendar. You know, all those basic pieces that you need. So when we announced the Ubuntu phone in January, we also announced that, you know, we really want to work with our community to get people interested and involved in writing a bunch of these apps. So we had a call for developers, and we had over 1,500 people apply to help with writing these core applications for the phone. And then what we did is a guy called Michael Hall on my team, as well as Dave Planella on my team, and a guy called Alan Pope. We've basically kicked off essentially 11 project management projects where we documented a blueprint, and we've worked with these teams. We broke them into teams, and we've defined work items and milestones. We've got all the Launchpad projects set up, and we've been working with these teams to ensure that they know what they're working on, they're happy and they're motivated. And now a bunch of these applications are starting to land into the image. So it's been a very, very community-orientated project in the fact that a lot of the major applications that you run on the phone today were written by our community as part of the project.
Right. But if I was a phone manufacturer, am I able to join in with that community and push changes back into the core platform? Because everything you described there sounds very end user rather than to do with the core platform.
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, I've never been a fan of mudslinging towards other projects. As you both know, I believe in live and let live. And this comment is not intended as mudslinging. But one of the misconceptions about Android is that it's a more open project than it really is. If you actually want to influence the core of Android, it's pretty impenetrable if you don't work at Google. Whereas one of the things that with Ubuntu on phones is that it's as accessible as any other Ubuntu project. So if somebody wants to come in and influence a part of how Ubuntu works or fix a bug or resolve issues, then they can come and join the project. We see this all the time. We have hundreds of developers every day who are fixing bugs and issues in all aspects of Ubuntu desktop. And the same thing is for the phone. Obviously, we have a very definitive idea about the user experience, but people can come in and be part of that design discussion as well. Everything is done on open mailing lists, open IRC channels, full open bug tracking, full open branches. Everything that we're doing on the phone is completely out in the open, and everything's under an open source license that people can use to contribute to.
Right. So coming a little bit further on that thought, if I am a phone vendor and I want to use Ubuntu phone as my end user operating system, does that mean that I don't need to have any kind of business relationship with Canonical? I can just go right ahead and do it myself? Or is there some hook that means I have to have a relationship with you?
No, I mean, the caveat here is I'm not a member of the business team, so I can't give you too many fully accurate details. But what I do know is that people can take Ubuntu phone and they can put it on a handset and they can ship it. Now, what you really pay for, when you work with it as part of a business partnership, is it's really around the branding and the marketing. You know, if someone wants to use Ubuntu, the Ubuntu trademark commercially, then we expect to have a relationship in place. But no, this is a completely open source operating system. If someone wants to take it and they want to put it on a device, then there's no reason why they can't do that.
Right. Now, a moment ago, you called the platform Ubuntu Touch rather than Ubuntu Phone. Was that a slip of the tongue, or does that indicate that this is actually a high level project to hit tablets and PC touch screens and give people a free operating system for Windows Surface?
It's really Ubuntu Touch is essentially it's the code name that we use to define the phone and the tablet operating system. So. Just to give it a little bit of context, so right now, the way it stands right now, if you have Ubuntu desktop and you have an Ubuntu phone, like the kernel's different. Pretty much everything between the kernel and Unity is pretty much the same. And then Unity on the phone is different than on the desktop. It's a different code base. And then the applications are different because, you know, we ship a bunch of GTK apps, as an example, on the desktop that we don't ship on the phone. So Ubuntu Touch is relating to Unity on the phone and the tablet, which is what is Unity 8. That's the version that we're working on, as well as the applications that ship with that. What we're actually working on right now is to make that Unity 8 code base that's running on the phone and on the tablet, that will encompass the desktop as well. So Unity Touch is kind of the overview of Ubuntu phone and tablet, but we're actually working towards making sure that all of those pieces are converged so they'll ultimately come over to the desktop as well.
Right.
So you're taking quite a different strategy here to the Firefox phone, which is, you know, using HTML as the way of delivering everything to the desktop. You've got a QML for your SDK. Why did you do that and not just go with a pure HTML experience for the phone?
Well, so QML is what we recommend for people to write native applications. But what we actually do is we support HTML5 apps as well as part of the SDK for people who want to bring those to the phone as well. So this is something that we haven't spent as much time on most recently. This is something that we have a team inside Canonical who's working on right now. But the goal here is if you want to write a HTML5 app, if you have an HTML5 app, you'll be able to deliver it onto the Ubuntu phone and be able to have it hook into the functionality of the phone itself. So, for example, using the messaging menu and being able to support. So we have, you know, good web app support in there for handling things like online accounts and if you want to integrate it with a launcher, things like that. So we will support HTML5 apps in the same way. There's essentially three different application development platforms that we support. One is what we refer to as native apps, which is the Qt and QML experience that I talked about earlier on. Second is HTML5 apps that you will be able to tie into the phone to make it more native as well. So for example, if you use Ubuntu Desktop and you use LinkedIn on there, then LinkedIn messages appear in the messaging menu. It appears in its own window. You can alt tab between it. It's not trapped inside of a browser tab. And then the third type of application is OpenGL. So if people want to write games, so as an example, Unity 3D is one of the biggest game engines in the gaming industry. It's not Unity that we have. It's a different Unity. And you know, you can output an Ubuntu binary. So you could, you know, if a games developer is building a game for the Unity 3D game engine, then you could output that and deliver that onto the phone or onto the Ubuntu desktop as well.
Right.
So
right.
In essence, going back to your specific point about Firefox, we do support HTML5 in the same way that Firefox do. I think the difference is, and I'm just to be completely clear, I'm not an expert on Firefox OS. I haven't had a chance to look at it. But from what I can tell, the level of HTML integration, HTML5 integration on the Ubuntu phone is a little bit more because of our heritage that we've had with integrating web apps into the desktop. But, you know, a lot of people ask, you know, why Ubuntu and Firefox, why aren't we working together or whatever else? But I think that the two are really targeting different markets in many ways. That, like, Firefox OS, from what I can tell, is targeting the lower-powered smartphones. So they're targeting some markets where, you know, people are still using lower-powered handsets, you know, kind of Symbian, that kind of level of handset, whereas Ubuntu is really, we're really kind of competing with Android and iPhone, essentially, right. The conventional handsets that you might have in your pocket.
Now, you mentioned games a moment ago. We had a question in the chat room just now from Curtis, who was asking, do you have any major game developers on board with Ubuntu Phone?
Not yet with Ubuntu Phone. The gaming has really took off recently for Linux in general, and Ubuntu's been driving a lot of that. We had Steam come to us, well, Valve, rather, come to us a while back, and they said, you know, we've had a lot of interest in bringing Steam to Linux, and we, you know, Ubuntu is our favorite operating system. This is what they recommend on the Steam website, you know. And you know, what can you guys do to help us do that? And we work with them on a bunch of the technical
details of how they do that. There was some issues with full screen gaming and things like that. So we've got a really good relationship with Valve, and that continues to this day. The Valve thing really unlocked the door for a lot of other gaming companies. The minute Steam was announced, and then secondly, when Steam was released and people actually were buying games on Linux, it really opened up the doors for a lot of people to be in, to be interested in gaming coming over. So, you know, there's going to be a version of Carmageddon's coming over. There's, I think, 25 different Kickstarter projects have got Linux ports slated. EA dipped their toes in the water. They're still interested. So there's kind of a lot going on right now, and I think that will naturally transition over to the phone when it's right for them. The thing about gaming is that it's a volume industry. These companies, they don't want to invest in a new platform unless they believe they're going to be able to get the volume of sales. So that's the reason why I think Linux was that was a really exciting time for Linux, because it demonstrated that the volume is there to a reasonable extent for these games companies. Obviously, the volume's not there with Ubuntu phone right now, because it doesn't ship on any handsets right now. So I think when it does ship on handsets, that'll become more exciting for a bunch of these companies.
So I'm curious, as a programmer, how different... Can I take a classic X11 widget from 10 years ago and put it on the Ubuntu phone, or is there no interface that looks like that?
So, yes and no. There is, if you have a phone, so put it this way, if you have a phone, if you have a, so for example, I've got a, this is my Galaxy Nexus, and this is, you know, this is running the Ubuntu phone. I can plug this into my machine, and I can basically, this is a Linux box, I can do pretty much anything I want with this. But that's different to the hands, like if you want to ship software to people. So in terms of just technically running things on the phone, then there's no reason why you couldn't do that. In terms of building software that you will want to deliver to normal Ubuntu phone users, then that's not going to work. Because the phone is obviously a constrained platform, there's only... We can't ship every possible toolkit on there. We can't ship every programming library. And a bunch of these toolkits are not touch-friendly as well. Sure. So that's the reason why we've really focused on very specifically on an SDK. This was something that we agonized over for a long time. Because, you know, we've had a long heritage of recommending people write applications with GTK. You know, we built quickly to make it easy on the desktop for people to generate GTK apps. You know, I've written a gamification system using GTK and other apps with GTK. But we picked Qt and QML because we felt like it was much, much more approachable for developers and also good for running on that constrained hardware platform. So in a nutshell, if you want to deliver an application to users, then you really need to use the SDK. But if you just want to get something up and running, so let's say if you're doing it for you, or if you're doing it for, you know, if you want something running for a group of friends, then there's no reason why you couldn't, you know, deliver those packages to the phone and then run your software on top of it as well.
And you mentioned you're running it on a Galaxy, right? So yeah. Can you run this on any Android phone, or are there some limitations, like it has to be a modern phone, or
it,
how?
I should have looked this up, but I forget the lowest system requirements, but... The Galaxy Nexus is what I would consider these days is a relatively mid-powered phone. It's not a particularly, you know, if you get a Samsung S4 as an example, you know, it's way, way more powerful. The goal is to get it running on the Galaxy Nexus and working well, which I think is similar to a lot of handsets that people might have in their pockets. It will basically work on pretty much any ARM-powered Android phone. If it runs Android, it's pretty much going to run Ubuntu Touch. There are some differences, though, in the sense that, you know, some hardware features might not work depending, you know, or might need tweaking, depending on whether our kernel supports that. And the other thing as well is that we have some issues. So a bunch of people have asked, why don't you generate daily images for... you know, for all of these different handsets, whereas we have some challenges in terms of, you know, we need to get those phones into a lab, and also there's some issues around redistribution of some of the firmware components that might be required to get that particular handset up and running. So we picked the Galaxy Nexus and the Nexus 4 as the two that we really focus on to make sure that they work well there.
Now, I'm running a Mac laptop, and I know I'm going to get screams from my audience because every time I talk about running a proprietary software on my for a show called Floss Weekly, I know. I can run Ubuntu on this, but I lose some of the more exotic hardware options. I think, for example, I don't know if Ubuntu's finally been able to sleep when the system sleeps. I don't know if that's finally been fixed on Mac laptops, but I lose some of those. Yeah. Okay, but I lose some of those edges like that. And I'm wondering if I have a phone, if I buy a Galaxy Nexus from a phone carrier and it can make calls, can I replace it with Ubuntu phone today and still make calls?
Yeah, so I mean, as an example, to illustrate the point, this was my this is my previous phone. This is a Samsung Galaxy Galaxy S2 that I bought from a T-Mobile store. I was running Android on there. Never particularly liked it. It worked fine, and then I got this this Galaxy Nexus, which is running Ubuntu Phone, and then I basically just pop my SIM card into this phone, and I can make calls, I can receive text messages, I can send text messages, I can browse the web on my network, I can install a bunch of applications that we've got running right now. It works. It basically works. It works as a basic phone right now. Now, that's the reason why we're edging towards dog fooding. The dog fooding is about, for example, right now with Ubuntu Phone, you can't browse the web using 3G or 4G. So if I'm out at Subway waiting for a sandwich, I can't read the news. That's something that we want to have fixed ready for the end of this month. There's little bugs around the edges, like right now, if I receive a phone call, the screen doesn't automatically turn on. So we're fixing that. So right now, if you could get a Galaxy Nexus today and flash it with the Ubuntu Touch image today and start using it for phone calls. Now, I know that there are some, it works for me with T-Mobile. I know that, I think it's Sprint. Some people have some issues with this. I'm not a phone person, so there's some kind of, I want to say CDMA. I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's some networks that the format that they use for phone call for making calls isn't supported right now. But that's going to be brought forward in the future. So,
is this already requiring though the cooperation of those carriers, or is this being done sort of without them having to worry about that? I mean, there must be low level protocols in the hardware that you can call to say, place this phone call or give me this edge connection, right?
Right. Exactly. This is something I'm not really familiar with the specifics of how it works. As far as I'm aware, that there is this thing called Ofono, which we use to essentially make the phone calls, and that has support for a bunch of these different networks. Obviously we want to get to a point. There's always been this this difference, I think. So just to back up a second, you know, There are two ways in which people consume Linux or any operating system. Is you either download Linux and you burn it to a CD or put it on a USB stick and install it on your computer, or you buy Windows or Mac and you install it on your computer, or you buy a computer with it pre-installed. And when you buy a computer or a phone with an OS pre-installed, you know it's going to work. You know all of those features are going to work, and that's what we're working towards with these companies. We want to make sure that you can go out and buy an Ubuntu phone and everything that you need. With that network, everything works fine. In the same way that you can go out and you can buy a Dell laptop or a Asus laptop or a Lenovo laptop with Ubuntu pre-installed, and everything will work fine. So right now, if you download the Ubuntu Touch image and put it onto a phone, you know, you may find that some pieces don't work because you're essentially taking a general purpose image and running it on that particular phone. So you may find it won't work with your carrier, but by and large, we're finding that people are able to use it fine across most of the carriers.
Cool. How well? You know, one of the primary reasons I use OS X and an iPhone is because they integrate extremely well. I can go to Safari on my laptop, make a bookmark, and then 30 seconds later, I can view it on my phone. Is there that sort of integration also with Ubuntu between the various devices?
Yeah. So that's the. It doesn't specifically exist right now in terms of the client side, but we have this service called Ubuntu One. And Ubuntu One is essentially, it's a cloud service that you can sync with. So If you know, right now on the Ubuntu desktop, you can go and buy, you can search for a song, you can go and buy a song or buy an album, and it will download it to your Ubuntu desktop, and it will save that album to your Ubuntu One cloud storage as well. And then if you have Ubuntu running on 5 other different machines, maybe some desktops, some laptops, maybe a netbook, everything that knows your Ubuntu One account, then you can synchronize that music, that content with those devices as well. And then we've also got things like, we've got Ubuntu One for Android and iPhone, so you can listen to music and stream it to your phone as an example. So one of the things that we're doing, Ubuntu One is the connection point between all these devices. So, you know, as an example, let me show you. It's very difficult to show you on the screen, but as you can see here, as an example, this is videos. And we'll be able, I mean, this is just dummy content right now because we're working with the studios, but you'll be able to download, you know, you'll be able to, so for example, if I tap Lincoln, then you'll be able to go and you'll be able to purchase a movie or purchase an album or something like that. It'll save it to Ubuntu One. So you might be on the bus and you might go and purchase something. You think, I'm going to watch Lincoln tonight. You'll purchase it. It'll stick it in your cloud storage. And then when you get home and you fire up your Ubuntu TV or your Ubuntu desktop, then it's already there and you're good to go. So that's the connection point. And the idea is that Ubuntu One, we have all the back-end servers. It's already there. People can use Ubuntu One right now. You can save all of your files. I sync everything to it, kind of like Dropbox. But then we just haven't plumbed it into the phone or the tablet images yet. So.
And so would I have to give up my OS X desktop? Because I'm kind of familiar with that. If I wanted to get one of these Ubuntu phones, is there any way I could sync across that direction? Is it standard enough protocols?
So you can get Ubuntu One. Ubuntu One will run on OS X. So you could always put your content in there. So you could access it on your OS X desktop as well. And we haven't really talked yet about making a direct link between syncing content that's... So, for example, syncing Safari bookmarks as an example. We haven't really had a conversation yet about getting things that are native to another OS integrated into Ubuntu. But, you know, I think we'll eventually get to that point. Right now, obviously, the focus is just getting the core of the OS up and running. And then we can start figuring out those other cases as well.
And we actually had a question from the chat room. Let me see if I can find it. Who asked it here? Viger said, any plans to support iPhone hardware?
You know, we've had a few people who've expressed interest in this. To be honest with you, I don't know. I don't think that it's something that we're necessarily going to directly support. Mainly because one of the benefits of us building for a particular, like a Nexus or a Nexus 4, is that arguably we're building for a hardware profile that we can then, the engineering that we invest into that is something that we can then take to a handset manufacturer or a carrier and say, look, it's working, it's up and running. Supporting the specific hardware profile inside of an iPhone, I don't want to be too presumptuous, but I'm almost willing to bet that Apple are never going to be interested in shipping a Ubuntu phone on iPhones. and I understand why they might not want to do that. So, you know, so I think that's one of the reasons why we haven't focused on that. But I do believe that some people have been trying to get it up and running on an iPhone. One of the things that's neat about it that I didn't mention earlier on was, is that a Ubuntu phone doesn't require any buttons other than a power button. So, you know, on Android, you've got the buttons at the bottom of the handset. On an iPhone, you've got obviously the main button that you can press. With Ubuntu phone, we use the edges of the screen to control the phone. So, again, I don't know if you can see this, but if I swipe out from the left edge, then it brings the launcher out. This is my most frequently used applications. So if I go to the main screen. The top edge is for where you can configure all of your settings. So, for example, I can see my most recent messages, or I can configure my battery or my time. The right edge is for where you can... I haven't actually got any apps open right now, but the right edge is where you can multitask between different applications. That's my son. So it's... you know, and the bottom edge as well. The bottom edge, let me see, is for... if you swipe up, this is where you've got toolbar options as well. So the equivalent of the Android menu. So you don't actually require any of the buttons that are on an Android phone. So And it keeps that keeps the bill of materials low for handset manufacturers.
Yeah, it sounds like it'll make it a bit cheaper for the way to do that. A couple more questions here real quick.
Yeah.
How about, so you're integrating with Ubuntu One. What if I'm sort of a Google-based person where I've got all my stuff in the Google Cloud? Can some of these apps integrate with that as well?
So, yeah, right now, if you install the image today, that's not working. Well, it is and it isn't. So, for example, I synced all of my Google contacts to my Ubuntu phone, but it required me typing in a few commands to do that. So we use, in terms of contacts, we use this thing called the Evolution Data Server, which we use on the desktop as well, and that's got support for syncing with Google services. Ultimately, the plan is that we, you know, by October, hopefully, we want to be in a position where you can integrate with Google services and you can publish to, you know, so for example, if you have a picture, you can publish it to Facebook or to Google Plus or to Twitter. So all that kind of social media integration, as well as being able to synchronize contacts and other content with the device as well. So we don't have it right now, but we hope to have that pretty soon.
And what about the ecosystem of an app store? Are you going to have something like an app store?
Yeah, a lot of people have been asking about this because we have the Ubuntu One, we have the Ubuntu Software Center that runs on the desktop. In reality, we're probably not going to have an app store, and the reason for that is that so. Again, like when you have the device open, you have these different screens like home and apps and contacts and all the rest of it. When you tap one of these icons, this is called what we call the dash, and you have the same thing on the desktop and the tablet as well. The dash is essentially it's a way of browsing content, contacts, information on the web, things like that. So we've essentially integrated all the features that we need into the dash. That work is going on right now. So traditionally on iPhone or on Android or on the Ubuntu desktop, you need to load up a separate application store to browse apps, see ratings and reviews, and purchase those apps or download them for free if they're free apps. We're actually integrating all of that into the core of the OS. So you won't even need to load up an app store. And it's the same thing with music and videos as well. You know, if you want to access music and videos on most other phones, you have to go into an application to find them. Whereas on the Ubuntu phone, you can just do a search for whatever you're looking for and it will pull it out. Or you can browse within each one of those screens in the dash.
So can you clarify this for me a bit then, Jono? Because, I mean, I believe one of the main reasons that the iPhone succeeded and one of the main reasons that Android succeeded was because there was an app store which was the focal point for ecosystem developers to build an ecosystem around the phone. So are you saying you're not going to do that? You're just going to ignore the focal point for the community for developers?
Well, so first of all, the decision's not really been 100% made. But what we're finding is that the dash basically provides everything that you need. The whole point of the dash is it provides a single place where you can find all of the content that you should care about. So, you know, when I use my computer or I use my phone, I don't really care where that content is. I just care that I can get it. So with the dash on the Ubuntu desktop, and we're going to make some improvements to the dash in this cycle to make it even more expansive, I could do a search for Metallica Orion. And that will pull up Orion by Metallica, and I can click on it and listen to it. Likewise, if I did a search for Angry in the dash, then it should pull up Angry Birds. And if that's installed on my computer, I can click on it and launch it. If it's not installed on my computer, then I can take a look at it and I can see ratings and reviews and get a description, see screenshots. So all the functionality that you have in an app store will essentially be available into the dash. Now, one thing that is an outstanding issue that we haven't made a decision about is one feature of an app store is being able to see things like featured content. You have banners and, like, I think Apple do a really fantastic job with this where you can browse, the coolest games or the top 10 of this or the top 10 of that. That's something that we haven't really resolved that issue yet. But in terms of the mechanics of being able to browse applications and find information about them and download them or purchase them, then that will be essentially built in. And what's neat about this is that you'll be able to search when you're searching for anything on your computer, then or on your phone. it'll make it easier for you to, like, the content will come to you as opposed to you having to go into an app store to think, I need to find this.
I'm still lost here because, I know a lot of people who are app developers and they rely on being able to have a marketplace for their apps when people don't know they want them yet. So they require something browsable. They right. need a partner to help them to take their products to market. Where is all this coming from? What's going to make the market for this Ubuntu phone?
So that you will essentially have the same services with this as well. So, let's look at the life cycle of how an app works. So, I want to build it. So I get the Ubuntu SDK or I port my application to Ubuntu. Then what you'll be able to do is, and a lot of this is already in place right now, you can go to developer.ubuntu.com and you can submit your application. You can fill in details about it, screenshots, all that kind of stuff. And then that will go to that will go up to Canonical, or we're actually building an automated service around this, but right now it'll be reviewed and it'll go into the software center. Or it'll go into the archive, essentially. And then that application then becomes visible to Ubuntu users on the desktop or on the phone. So if somebody is, in terms of actually delivering that and people being able to find it and find ratings and reviews, and if you do a search for something, we'll bring the most popular applications up to the surface first, as an example. So when the user indicates that they're interested in finding something, then they'll be able to find it. So that's the search piece, I think, will operate better than solutions that we have today with Apple and Android. The browsing piece, which you're referring to, Simon, I think is a good point, and that's the thing that we're working on figuring out right now. That's, as yet, we haven't got a final decision about that. We do want to provide a means in which people can browse content more easily. So what you can do, for example, on the dash on Ubuntu, you can say, show me all multimedia apps, or show me all text editors, or show me all games. But we want to provide a better way in which you can drill down to categories. So you can say, I want to see the top 10 arcade games, as an example. So that is something that we will have, but we're trying to figure out right now, or the design team are working on what the final user experience of that will look like. What we're not convinced is that you need to just have an app store. We're trying to figure out a way in which we can make that more integrated into the phone itself. Because right now, a lot of people miss a lot of the content in the App Store because it's a conscious decision to have to go and load an App Store to go and get something. So we want to rather be able to find a way in which applications can be presented to people when they identify, I need something to do this, as opposed to, I need to go find something to do this. And that's the subtle thing.
Right, so it sounds to me like what you're really saying here is that there's going to be an App Store, but you're talking, when you say App Store, you mean the user, end user application. And that there's still going to be an Ubuntu App Store. It's just you haven't worked out what its UI in the phone is going to be yet.
Right. I think, what we will have is we'll have integration, what we do have and what we definitely will have is better integration into the core OS for applications. But I agree with you that one thing that we're going to need is a better means of people being able to browse content. So I think the App Store on Ubuntu will be more of a this is what's hot, this is what's cool. It won't, and that will be an overview of what's of the very best bits and pieces that are going on in the Ubuntu ecosystem. What we won't expect that you have to go to this App Store to go and get everything. What we'll do is we'll integrate that more natively into the dash as well.
Right.
Ultimately is we'll deliver this service that you're talking about, but we'll also provide more integration into the core OS so you can get apps and content and other bits and pieces outside of those specific apps as well.
Right. So one of the suggestions in the chat room is that you might want to have a recommendation lens for Unity.
Right, yeah. So, one of the things that we're working on right now is what we refer to as smart scopes. This is actually supposed to land in the previous cycle on the desktop, but it got delayed to this cycle, which is where the dash, which is, the one unified place where you search for everything. Currently, the dash provides services for you to search. You can find music in the Ubuntu One Music Store, applications in the archive, local files in your computer, things like that. Whereas we've added 50 or 60 different search services within the new Smart Scopes dash, where it'll search weather and Yelp and recipes and all kinds of stuff. So you do a search for something, and it will pull things that are relevant to that search. And the service will get smarter as, you know, as it works. So if someone does a search for chicken, the more people, you know, if you do a search for chicken, you're probably going to be more likely to see people interested in recipes. So the more people who click on those recipes, that will float to the surface. So it will be kind of this democratized way of presenting content based upon a search that's embedded right into the OS. And that's about to land on the desktop, and that will be part of the devices as well.
So in the chat room, user Invincibles asked whether there's going to be cross-mobile support for a common package format between Firefox, Jolla or Hoya, and Ubuntu. Are you going to do that, or is this all about focusing on the canonical app store that you have in Ubuntu at the moment?
So the, you know, our focus is obviously on Ubuntu, but one of the things that we found, this was actually quite a recent discussion, was, you know, so traditionally we've used Debian the Debian packaging format and apt for delivering packages to Ubuntu for many years. You know, our vision with Ubuntu moving forward is that we're going to scale up the number of applications to hundreds and hundreds of thousands. We did some testing into how well Debian packages could scale for that, and there's essentially three problems with Debian packages from the perspective of an app developer. One is they're a little bit complicated to package. Like, there's a lot of policy that's involved in creating a Debian package. The second issue is they have these things called maintainer scripts, which is essentially a script that's run once the package is installed, and those run as root. So you have to be very, very careful in how you review those packages so people don't do anything naughty. And then the third thing is that when you... To know what's available that you can install, the way apt works is that it basically maintains a client-side list of all of the different packages and all of their dependency requirements. One of the most powerful things about Debian and apt is the dependency resolution. And we found that with app developers, if you're building an application for the Ubuntu SDK, the dependency resolution is very simple. You just need to make sure you've got the SDK installed. So we found that, like, maintaining that client-side list and those with those deficiencies for app developers, Debian packages are not the best solution. So a guy in Canonical who's been here since the beginning working on Ubuntu, Colin Watson, raised the topic on our developer mailing list about how to build an alternative format that's easier, doesn't have maintainer scripts, and maintains essentially as a simple dependency resolution, and where the list of packages is essentially server-side, so it's much quicker to operate, particularly on a mobile device. Now, we want to run this project, even though we're building this to really solve the problems that we have in Ubuntu. This is a completely open project, and we've openly invited other projects to participate in this as well. So I'm not sure if there's been any discussion directly with Hoya and with Firefox OS, but I'm sure that they're facing very similar challenges, and we'd love them to use this. It's called the Click package format, and I think it would be really wonderful for them to do that. So I'm hoping right now it doesn't look like there's a direct connection between these different projects, but there's an opportunity with that with Click packages.
Right. So you know, all these questions are very interesting in talking about the market that you're addressing with Ubuntu Phone. So, you know, I've seen that you don't have any Java support in the device, so you're obviously not going after the old mid-P market and the traditional handset market. Who are you going after? You know, are you really going to try and take on Google and Apple head-on when they've got a several years lead in the market?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, It's interesting, you know, when we announced the phone, I flew out to Vegas to CES to go and exhibit it with the rest of the team. And naturally, we had a bunch of people saying, really? You guys think that you... If this is a two-horse race, you guys really think that you can take on Google and Apple? And our view is the cell phone industry turns around about once every 3 to 5 years. So if you look 3 to 5 years ago, it was Palm. Remember them? It was all BlackBerry, Nokia, and things have changed. And there is no doubt at all that, you know, Apple and Android are by far leading, and they're doing a really wonderful job. I mean, Apple, you know, hit 50 billion apps. But the one thing about open source is that open source has always challenged the norm. And, you know, we went out there to challenge the norm with Ubuntu on the desktop. I think we've made some good success. We've made some good progress there. Ubuntu's available for, you know, for the four biggest OEMs in the industry. Ubuntu is the most popular operating system in use on the cloud. And we feel that now is a good time for us to go out and to try and change the rules about how the cell phone and tablet world works. Because people want something. I know a lot of people, and I think this is very common with a lot of people. A lot of people want something as beautiful as an iPhone. Like, the iPhone is a beautiful device. There's no doubt about it. The iPad is a beautiful device. But they don't want to get locked into the Apple jail. However, the alternative to that is really Android. And a lot of people don't feel that Android is... it provides that beautiful experience. And Android isn't a particular... like I say, it's a free platform, but it's not necessarily a particularly open platform in terms of being able to influence it. So our view is we want to build something that's as beautiful as an iPhone, that's more open than Android. But the real gem in my mind is it's this convergence across these different devices. It's the fact that you have a very similar experience, your content's in all in one, you know, all in the same place, that runs across all of these different devices. And people can build applications once that will run across all these different devices as well. And I think that's the unique flavor that we've got. Now, it's an uphill struggle. There's no doubt about it. There's a lot for us to do. But I think we've got an awesome community that's passionate about this. We've got some great technology. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for us to go out there and do it. And you know what? If you don't try, you know, it's better to die trying than to give up before you even started. So...
very, very valiant answer there. I have just a couple technical questions. We're almost out of time. It's just been a fascinating conversation, and we could probably go on for another 2 hours still. So I'll have to like cut this off at some point. But on the iPhone, as of the iOS 6, the applications that know how to accept a picture register themselves with the OS, so that anything that wants to send a picture somewhere can know all the other apps that live horizontally to handle that. Is there something similar in place or planned for Ubuntu Phone that acts like that?
Yeah, that's. I mean, one of the things that we want to do is to integrate all of the pieces on the phone and how they fit together. A lot of that is the back end services that are provided in the internals of the phone. So, yeah, there is definitely a desire to do that. I mean, as an example, one of the things that we have in the Ubuntu desktop is we have unified online accounts. So you can say, this is my Facebook account, and this is my Twitter account, and this is my, this is my Google account. And different applications that know how to talk to the online accounts can then do different things. So you know, we have a single code path for example, pushing an image to one of these different services. And you can configure which of these different services you support as well. So we definitely want to bring a lot of that over to the phone. And what we're really trying to do here as well is to really blur the line between what's native and what's on the web. Because for too long, you know, web apps, they live inside of a browser tab. So, you know, the idea is that a web app that runs on the phone will integrate with all the native system components as well.
That'd be cool even for things like dialing from contacts. If I had a preferred dialer, like I use a VoIP service instead of, say, the carrier service, to be able to say, dial it with this. Here's my preferred dialer. Here's my preferred web browser. Here's my preferred picture editor, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. All right. Again, we're almost out of time. Is there anything we haven't asked you that you want to make sure our audience is aware of?
Not really. I mean, you know, I just, I'd encourage, you know, I wouldn't necessarily recommend that people go and flash their phones with Ubuntu for phones right now, because we're not quite there yet. I'd say the salient points are we're hoping to have a first cut of the feature complete image ready for October. We're shooting to try and get handsets into the market Q1, Q2, 2014. And what I'd really encourage people to do is to go and check out the SDK. Go to developer.ubuntu.com. Click the button, download the SDK, go through the tutorial and write some apps. We've got an awesome community. I know a lot of people who watch the show are big fans of Google+. We've got nearly 2,000 developers who are part of our community on Google+. There's an Ubuntu app developers community there. And come and join the fun.
Does that SDK also have a simulator?
Yes and no. I mean, you can run apps, so you can write an application for the phone and run it on your desktop. What it doesn't have at the moment is a full simulator where you've got Ubuntu Touch running in a window like with Android. That's actually something the SDK team are currently working on. The SDK right now is still in development. We're actually looking to launch the beta of it in July, and then we're going to have a big app developer competition in July. So I believe that the simulator may be part of the SDK in the beta. So I think you'll probably see it then.
Cool. Well, Jono, it's been really wonderful having you back on the show again. It seems like old times, but new times.
It's been good to see you guys again. It's been a while.
Very good. And also, it still sounds like this is pretty early in the cycle. We've already got a question in the chat room of, can we bring you back when it's a little more mature and talk more about where it actually went?
I'd love to, anytime.
Very good, Jono. I really appreciate that. Well, thank you. Welcome back to the show. Except I said at the opening of the show, but thanks for spending your time with us.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
Thank you. So that was Jono Bacon. We brought back the bacon back to the show. What'd you think there, Simon?
Hi, Randall.
Hi, Simon.
I thought it was. So I'm very excited by Ubuntu Phone. I think that it's a great development. I think that having a real Linux open source operating system in the device is a great advance. I remain a little concerned about the markets they're addressing. In the emerging markets in the developing world, they've got a tough call with very low cost, low margin, low function devices, and they're up head to head with Firefox OS. And in the developed market, they're head to head with very well funded multinational corporations like Google and Apple. So I think they've got a very tough journey ahead of them. But technically, I think they're producing something that looks beautiful and that is very capable. And I think they're in with a good chance if they can get the marketing right for it.
Well, yeah, and I like the UI. You know, as I was spending this morning going over the materials for today's show, you know, I'm watching the videos and looking through the UI, and I was like, I wish my iPhone was that easy. You know, and that's saying a lot, actually, because I like my iPhone. It's pretty good in terms of gestures and stuff, things I want to make it do, although I have some fourth-party applications installed in there to add a few more things that I think really ought to be integrated in the OS directly without requiring me to jailbreak it. But I like the layout of this phone. I want this to succeed. But in order for it to succeed for me, it has to integrate into my life, which means either I have to figure out a way to make it work with OS X in a convenient way, because I'm not likely to give up my Mac laptop for any short time, because I'm really invested in all the apps I have on it. But I like your question, though, about, you know, you're up against two big ones. How's that going to work? I liked his answer, though, that, every 3 to 5 years, the industry turns around. Yep. And so maybe they're going to be positioned in a place where people roll over and say, okay, we're tired of some of the lock-ins in Android. We're tired of the total sandbox in the iPhone. Is there a way that we can get something that's even more integrated across all these devices? I really like that you're going to, developers are going to be able to write essentially to the same or similar SDKs all across all these devices. So I'm excited for this from that perspective, because you still write very differently for the Mac laptop than you do for the iPhone.
Yeah.
It's like,
no, I think they're definitely in with a good chance here from a technical point of view. The other point of concern that I had is with answers that tend to say, well, you know, we're going to serve our ecosystem. As you rightly point out, people are part of other ecosystems. One of the great weaknesses of Apple is their very poor embrace of other ecosystems. And I actually think that's one of the strengths Android has got, is that they're actually quite good or have been historically at integrating with other ecosystems. So I think one of the critical success factors for Ubuntu Phone is going to be its embrace of existing ecosystems, its integration with existing platforms. And they've obviously got some thinking to do about that. You know, Jono's answers about the App Store showed that they're still thinking about what makes markets work and what integration means. And I hope they're going to make some smart decisions there as well. I'm really hoping that when I'm over in Portland for OSCON, that somebody from Canonical is going to come up and demonstrate or even give me one of these great phones to try out. Because, I want to put it side by side with my Android phones and with your iPhone and just see how they all compare next to each other.
Well, like I said, those gestures were exciting. It was like, it's really hard to get me to be excited about like the UI of a phone, because again, I'm using an iPhone, which I really consider to be, better than anything I've had previously. So there's one other thing I was trying to think of. My brain went in a fog all of a sudden. It was something about what you were saying. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But yeah, I'll see you at OSCON. That will definitely be a time for us to go look around and hunt down anybody that's giving away free Ubuntu phones. That would be cool. Maybe they give them away at the booth. That'd be kind of cool. Hey, first 100
people. That could
be great. Yeah. great, great. So speaking of giving away things at booths, that's my awkward transition for the week. We've got coming up next week, we've got the Mayan EDMS, which is a document management system. We've got the Maker, which is a content management system for Macs. So basically it runs on the Mac. It's open source software. But if you have a OS X desktop or an OS X laptop, you can basically do set up your website and get content management done with that, and it integrates well with the native interface on the Mac. Here's what I'm really looking forward to. Not like I'm not looking forward to the other ones, but Web 2 Project, which is business-oriented project management system. Think of something like your typical trouble ticketing system with maybe load balancing in terms of resources and people and things like that, but all open source software. And they also have a hosted version of it, I believe, so you can actually just use their software right from the beginning. And then another one I'm also looking forward to, I actually talked to some of the sysadmin team here at NAMI, and they actually have looked at using it, is AnsibleWorks. I had not heard of this before, but it's deployment software. It's similar to, say, Puppet or Chef or what's the other one? Salt or there's another one too, CF Engine. We've had all those guys on the show before, but AnsibleWorks actually is being used by some very, very large installations, and so I'm looking forward to talking to them. I have been sending out more email, trying to fill Q3 now. Q2 is totally full. Actually, Q2 is over. Coming up soon, so but we're starting to fill the Q3 out. If you want to follow how I'm doing on that, you can go to twit.tv/floss, and there is a link there to my big Google spreadsheet. Oh, I remember what I was going to talk about. Apple is making more inroads on being integrated with other services. Like as of the latest OS release, I can sync with Google Contacts, I can sync with Yahoo Contacts, my calendars all sync with Google Calendars, so. There is some integration in that direction. Oh, and the mail knows how to talk to Microsoft Exchange, things like that. So that's what I was going to say. But you don't need to respond. It's fine. Anyway, so go to twit.tv/floss. You can see the big spreadsheet that I have for upcoming guests. If you have a guest that you want on there, please have the project lead email me. So you contact the project lead. Project lead emails me. That puts them right up at the top of the list. You'll see in a couple lot of changes recently where people move right to the top of the list because of that. That's how people get invited. You can also chat with us. We had many questions today from the live chat room. It's live.twit.tv. We tape at 8:30 a.m. Pacific time on Wednesdays. You can find the specific taping times on the big spreadsheet I talked about a moment ago. You can follow us on Floss Weekly on Google+. You can also follow us as at Floss Weekly on Identica and Twitter. You can follow me at Merlyn, M-E-R-L-Y-N, on Twitter and Identica. You can also follow me on Google+. I'm actually a lot more, violent. I'm a lot more vocal, not violent. Big difference. A lot more vocal. Don't get those two confused, right? I'm more vocal on Google+. I talk a lot about, all sorts of high-tech things and stuff. That's so technical now, but I'm just giddy here at this point. But I've also been talking about my weight loss a lot, and I also post a lot of health articles now because I read about 55 health blogs every day. And I talk about how I lost 45 pounds in 6 months without exercise, without being hungry, without counting calories. So I post a lot of articles related to this low-carb, high-fat lifestyle I now have. Speaking of that, I just came back from the low-carb cruise, got to hang out with 150 fellow like-minded people, and got to talk to Jimmy Moore, who's produced over 700 podcasts. He's currently running 3 shows at once. I do not know how he has that much stamina. That's insane. That's about all I have to pitch today. So we're running out of time, so we'll just go ahead and say we'll see you all again next time on Floss Weekly.